Thanks, Tam. It's good to see everyone that's came out this afternoon. If you have your Bibles ready, could we turn to John's Gospel? John's Gospel for one verse, chapter 14. Many of you will know this verse well and won't even need to read it. Jesus said, 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We'll read it once more. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we look to God to bless his word. Here, in this verse, there's three words that you can depend on. You can depend on way, truth, and life. There's not much in the world around us that we can depend on, and we will be touching on that throughout this message. This verse, as the whole gospel does, this verse is often seen as offensive, this verse particularly, and we will touch on that. Now, the verse to me, this is the first verse I ever assigned to memory. I remember hearing that coming up in a year ago now, just after I was saved. Now, I don't remember a word the preacher said, but what I remember is this verse. Now, if you take away nothing that I've said today, but you take away that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, it has been a fruitful meeting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through way, truth, and life. Now, I'm going to do what Robert would say is an Irish thing. I don't know what my excuse is. I'm going to start with truth. So I'm starting in the middle. Lord Jesus here is saying he is the truth. Now, we have God's word. We have 66 books with 40 or so authors written over thousands of years, yet they all say the same thing. Yet you look at your newspapers with yesterday's news, and there's not two of them say the same thing. You have them, because they're written by man, they're written by man's agendas, they're written to an audience, who the audience is, but yet God's word is written to sinners. It's written to us. The Bible says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Lord Jesus is truth. The world is full of lies, and the world will tell you lies. Yet we have truth in God's Word. God's Word doesn't change. The Lord Jesus doesn't change. The Hebrew writer says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not much the same yesterday as it is today. If we look back even a few years ago, things are changing fast and changing rapidly. Yet the Lord Jesus, who was saving, who was able to save the thief in the cross, is still saving today. He can save you from your sins if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus. And that is the truth of it. The world is, as we've just sung, the world is offering you empty glory, and it's costing you too dear. Now, Jesus says here, "I am the way." Now, I've got it in good authority what Jesus is saying. No other than I am the way. Now, this is where the offensiveness of this verse kicks in for most people. That what the Lord Jesus is saying here is there's one way. There's not multiple ways. The world is offering you multiple ways. But the Bible tells me, "For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So there is only one way to God. We have been separated from God by our sins. We've been separated from God since the garden, from Adam's sin, by our own sins. Yet the Lord Jesus went and died on the cross and rose again on the third day to make a way for us, that our sins might be forgiven. The Bible says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The world is offering you that broad way. It's offering you more and more avenues of sin all the time. It's offering you more and more options of sin all the time. Yet the Lord Jesus is offering you one way. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through repenting of your sins and putting your faith in the Lord Jesus. Life. I'm going to read a few verses from Scripture. You don't need to turn with me because I haven't wrote the chapters and verses down anyway. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we will see light, the psalmist says. In him was life, and life was the light of men, John. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, yes, there is eternal life here, and that's important. But there's also new life today. If you repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus, that's not going away and saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. It's wholeheartedly putting your faith in the Lord Jesus and repenting of your sins. You will have new life today. You will not be in bondage to your sin any longer. There's some people have said to me, when I'd first said to them that I was becoming a Christian and I'd put my faith in the Lord Jesus, they said to me, oh, am I a Christian too? That's good. Aye. I had some water sprinkled in my head by a priest or a minister when I was a baby. That makes me a Christian. Well, no, it doesn't. There needs to be new life. As we mentioned, the thief in the cross, well, he didn't have time to have water put in his head. He was saved by grace through faith. So it's good to see everyone that's here, but why are you here? Don't take this wrong, by the way, because it is good to see everyone that's here, but why are you here now? I wouldn't sit through a message being told that I'm a sinner unless God had worked on me first. Now, there's a good chance God has got to you before I have. So what barriers are you putting up between yourself and God? Well, it's your sin, isn't it? You're just not prepared to let go of your sin, of that one foot you have in the world. Yet, when you sin, are you convicted of your sin? I'm speaking from experience here. Are you convicted of your sin? Do you go from one sin to another, looking for satisfaction, yet you don't find satisfaction? There's only satisfaction to be found in the Lord Jesus. The world is offering you all sorts, but its cost is too dear. If you believe that the Lord Jesus is the way, is the truth, and the life, you need to talk to God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to accept him as your saviour and you will have new life. You know the truth and you will have the way. And that will do us for today's message. I'm going to ask Stuart to come up and close if that's okay.
Thanks very much, David.
Thank you. John 14 and 6 was one of the verses I had in mind actually for this afternoon as one of the great gospel verses. So maybe just read a verse or two round about that. And John 14, why don't we read from the beginning? As a child, I memorised the first half a dozen verses for a penny caramel in a children's meeting, when a penny caramel was something worth having. It's probably why I've got so many fillings now. So John 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And we do look to God again to bless his word. So John 14, 6 tells us the way to God. What is the way? And we've already had it explained that the Lord Jesus Christ is uniquely the way to God. There's no other way. And of course, if there had been many other ways, there would have been no need for the Lord Jesus. And we notice here something very, very special for you and I in John 14 and 6. It was one of the great Bible teachers of years ago that said that it is an easy thing, it is an easy thing for someone to come up with a way to God for men who are good. But only God could open up a way to him for men that are sinners. And that's what we have here in John 14 and 6. So if you're perfect and you've committed no sin, and there is nothing between you and God, then you don't need this verse. But if you're like me, and you're like every other person apart from Jesus Christ, then you need this verse. And uniquely, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14 and 6 is presented as the way to God. He's the way to God because he opens up that path for sinners. And that way goes by the way of the cross. It goes by the way of shed blood. It goes by the way, not by works, but by what God has done. He's taken his son and had him crucified at the cross of Calvary. It's a way that's been paid, it's been bought. It's the most expensive way to heaven you will ever find. It's the way that cost God his only son. And as you get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see not only a saviour, but you see the truth. And if you're searching for truth this afternoon, you'll find it in Christ. You say, where did I come from? The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was made by him, and without him was not anything made. You want to know your origin, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus. You want to know your destiny, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus. All judgment is given to him. I know it was the disciples that met with the Lord Jesus in John 14, but you and I will meet with him again one day. You'll read about it at the end of the book of Revelation. He'll judge me, he'll judge you. And there is only one way out of that judgment, and that is by the path of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. He's the way. And not only is he the answer to where I came from and as to where I go to, but he is the answer, of course, as to how it is that we might be saved. He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. So that great verse is an answer to the question as to what is the way. But did you notice, as we read a little round about John 14, there's another very interesting question that that verse answers. It's a question Thomas asked. How can we know the way? I think that's a very interesting question. You know, Thomas, I like Thomas a lot. He in many ways, he asks the kind of questions that niggle with me. Not so much what does the Bible say, and not so much what is the message of the gospel, and not so much what is the way to heaven, but how can I be absolutely sure I'm going there? And that really bothers me. And over the years, you see, people have often asked this question: how can I know that I'm saved? How can I know that I'm definitely going to heaven? Oh, I believe what the Bible says. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yep, I believe what the Bible, that the Bible is full of those ancient prophecies that point to the coming of the Lord Jesus. I believe that he came. I believe the testimony of history and the apostles. I understand that. But how can I know I'm on that road? Because it's infinitely important to me. I'm sure it's infinitely important to you. And in response to that question, not only what is the way, but how do I know if I'm on it? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, the assurance of getting to heaven is the fact that we're walking with Christ now. Yeah? There will be no surprises in eternity. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ now, you won't know him then. That's the answer. If you aren't enjoying him now, you won't enjoy him then. If you've never met me now, says the Lord Jesus, you'll not meet me then. It's as simple as that. I'm the way. The way, you see, isn't only a beginning and it's not only an end, but it's a path. You remember the parable the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about? He spoke about a broad way and a narrow way. In fact, you could take that Greek word and you could retranslate it. You could translate it as highway or freeway, or even, if you like, in modern English, motorway. It's a whole path. It's a whole street. And you see, this great work of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus begins that moment we take a step of faith, as we've been hearing about, and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we continue to walk with him. And he continues to speak to us. And his word becomes real and living to us. He opens up a relationship with the God of heaven. And God speaks to us through the preaching of his word. He speaks to us through the reading of his word. And we know a strength and a power and a presence. We know at times a peace that goes beyond all understanding. We know a hope even in the midst of adversity and affliction. And we have that aspiration for heaven. We feel unsettled here. This, again, we've heard about. There's a difference, you see, between someone who has never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and someone who has. And David has spoken very clearly about it. And it's that response of sin in our hearts, you see. Once sin gets in there, maybe you say, it doesn't really matter to me about sin. I can enjoy it and take it or leave it. But you know, once the Lord Jesus Christ gets a grip of our soul, we begin to become deeply aware of that sin. You'll find that the Apostle Paul speaks about that in the book of Romans. It makes him feel so empty and so dead and so worthless. He has that presence, you see, of the Lord Jesus Christ convicting of sin, that deep repentance. And so, what a wonderful verse John 14:6 is, pointing us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as not only the answer as to what is the way to God. It's by faith uniquely in the Lord Jesus. It's by faith in what he's done. And we see that way opened up between heaven and earth through his cross. He's the answer to the question as to where did I come from, where am I going, and what is the way to heaven. Not only what is the way, but how do I know it? I know it if I know him. I know it if I've trusted him. I know it if I enjoy a living relationship with him. I know it if I have Christ. What a wonderful verse. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's just pray, shall we? Our Father, we do come into thy presence this afternoon. We rejoice, our Father, in the person of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in the cross of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, that what is impossible for us is possible with thee. We thank thee, our Father, that whilst we know that the word of God is ever so clear, that God is of holier eyes than to look upon sin and cannot tolerate iniquity. Whilst we appreciate, Father, that there is this barrier between earth and heaven, that crystal sea, pure and clear, nothing that defiles can enter in. We thank thee, our Father, that what is impossible for us becomes possible for a God of infinite grace and mercy. And we look, our Father, and we see the possibility there, the reality of it at the cross of Calvary. And we see, Father, a way that is opened up, that sinners like ourselves are able to enter in. We see a new and a living way. We see, our Father, a narrow way. And we see, our Father, a unique way in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, our Father, for that. We remember, our Father, the promise that is given to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Absolute certainty by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, our Father, too, for the assurance of knowing him now. We thank thee, our Father, that in many ways heaven will not be a surprise. For the one that we know now, we will know then. And the relationship that we have now will grow, but it will still be there. And the one that we've met now, we know our Father that he is in heaven as a lamb freshly slain. And we thank thee, our Father, that the final voice that we hear here on earth, the voice of the Lord Jesus, is the voice that welcomes us into heaven. We remember, our Father, that the door into heaven is his door. And we thank thee, our Father, that we can enjoy a relationship with the God of heaven now in the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for the one that gives us